This is Girl with a Podcast. My life basically revolves around watching Bravo and drinking alcohol. I'm the modern day Bridget Jones if she was Jewish and not annoying. No, seriously, if sitting on your couch was an Olympic sport, I would win gold. Welcome back, Claudettes, to the second episode of Girl with a Podcast. So glad you could be here. Hope you enjoyed the first episode. Kind of short, second episode's gonna be much better, much fuller. We have so much to talk about because it was such an eventful week in the life of Gwunge. First up, we're talking Golden Globes, then Bachelor, then Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and then we're having our very first guest. Jackie O Problems is here, my sister Jackie O. She's going to tell you what Steens means once and for all, and I want you guys to listen carefully because I actually think I made up two words in the process of this podcast. The first is hyperventilation and the second is contenderness, so I just want you guys to look out for them and let me know what you think. So let's just jump right in and talk about the first thing on our minds, and that's the Golden Globes. They were this Sunday. They were kind of boring. Nobody dressed super heinously. So, like, that made my job of, like, making memes super boring because I wanted to make fun of people and I wasn't allowed to. So, that kind of stunk. But so much happened. It was chock full of weird shit. So, I just want to jump right in. First thing I want to talk about was Ryan Gosling, obviously, because I kind of felt like he totally did not even want to be there. Like, he was so disinterested, and, like, we get it. You're hot as hell, but, like, could you just pretend for us, at least? Second thing I want to talk about is La La Land. I mean, it was the only movie I'd ever heard of, so it's no surprise that it totally swept the nation with the awards, but, like, was it that good, real talk? I saw it, and a lot of the times when I was in the movie theater, I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. And then a lot of the times, I was like, I'm confused. And then sometimes I was like, I'm bored. So I don't know if it was really like sweep worthy. Like, it definitely is not the status of like, say, a Slumdog Millionaire. But I don't know. I'm happy for Emma Stone, I guess. But whatevs. I want to talk about some highlights. Kind of three things that happened that really either made me feel awkward or made me feel happy or made me feel sad. So first thing that happened made me feel really happy. And that was Brad Pitt unexpectedly coming out to be a presenter. I had no clue the Lord would be gracing us with his presence, and I'm so grateful that he did, because he came out and the entire crowd went nuts, just like cheering for him, basically giving him a standing ovation for like being hot. And it was kind of like everyone was basically saying to him, like, woohoo, like, welcome back from prison, we're so happy to have you back, we totally take your side against crazy Angelina. So I'm happy that Hollywood for once is on the right side of history when it comes to Brad and Angelina. So that was definitely a positive highlight. Maybe a more like negative highlight was when the winner of Best Director, which was from La La Land, won. The whole table stood up and they were cheering and hugging, and Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone, and the director's wife basically all went in for a hug with the director named Damien, I think his name is. They all went in for a hug, and Emma Stone was basically like ransacked and like pushed to the side, and it was gifed on the internet, and I just kept watching the video back, and it's so painful, and it's so awkward, and it's so horrible to watch that I don't care how many Golden Globes she wins, I don't care how many freaking Oscars she wins, she could win a Pulitzer Prize for all I care, and I will still be talking about the hug heard around the world. It was just awful. So I feel bad for her, because like, she's obviously the it girl of the award season, but she's only gonna be remembered for that horrible hug, so she should just go home now. But that was kind of like a sad highlight. And then one more highlight, which doesn't make me feel sad, doesn't make me feel happy, just like kind of warmed my heart, was Ryan Gosling's acceptance speech. I mean, of course he was going to win. He's Ryan Gosling, and he's no match for a Ryan Reynolds or an Andrew Garfield. Like, please. So Ryan Gosling gets up there and he gives the most heartwarming speech about his wife and her brother and his kids. And even though I've always thought that he could do better than Eva Mendes, it warmed my heart. And it made me feel like maybe they are perfect for each other, you know? It was really quite beautiful. So I'm looking forward to more of award seasons where I could see kind of Ryan Gosling come into his element, because this is one of the first times he's being taken as a real serious actor. I mean, besides for The Notebook, which is an iconic film, he's, you know, the it boy of the award season, and I'm really looking forward to watching him shine. And I hope he brings freaking Eva Mendes or like one of his kids to the award ceremony, because like, they could be dead for all we know. Like, he could have locked all of them up in a cell and we wouldn't know, because we haven't heard from her or seen from their family in years. So I'm glad to know Ryan Gosling is still alive, because he came to the award show. But where's Eva and Esmeralda? Like, where is everyone? So like I said, like, it was kind of a boring award ceremony. I don't really have that much to say about it. Everyone looked really beautiful. Emma Stone's dress was just gorgeous, and it really had the aesthetic of La La Land with the stars and everything. Natalie Portman, I'm really not one to, like, comment or critique a pregnant woman, and her dress was pretty, but, like, the color looked like when you get really sick and you, like, throw up and, like, it's in the toilet, like, that's the color of her dress. So I personally wouldn't have chosen that, but as a pregnant woman, she looked divine. Like, the silhouette, like, she looked so cute with her bump and her hair. She really looked like Jackie O, which was fitting because she was there for a nomination for Jackie. So that's really all I have to say. It was a pretty uneventful night. I really wanted to watch The Affair, but I, of course, had to watch the Golden Globes for fear of missing out because I have a crippling disability that I can't miss out on anything. But next up, let's talk about something equally as important.
On the most dramatic episode in Bachelor history.
It's really crazy what 2 hours of primetime television can do to a person, because you go in with all these, you know, preconceived notions, and everything I thought I knew or I thought that I, you know, liked about the show, it's gone. I'm going to say something that might be unpopular, but I think I might be starting to like Corinne. She has a very weird charm about her, and I'm looking forward to getting to know her better, but let's jump right in. Happened first, we had the group date. Super weird, classic Bachelor. They did an engagement shoot with, I would say, maybe 7 or 10 of the girls. They really put all the crazy ones in this bunch besides Liz. So there was Corinne, and there was Taylor, and there was Robin, who was so sweet. And they all got dressed up as either brides or bridesmaids and did really weird photo shoots. It was a very sexual segment. It was like one girl kissed him and then the rest of the girls like had to one up that girl, and they were like kissing him and like showing him her boobs. So it was a very sexually stimulating segment, very not, you know, cable safe ABC. Brittany, who was the girl who got the leaf bikini, has the most amazing body. I was not expecting that from her. She was tan and muscular, and her Nick looked great. I thought she might have been a really good contender to win, but then, you know, Corinne got into the pool, took her boobs out, you know, all the women were, like, having hyperventilations, but I thought it was kind of like a bold move by Corinne. She obviously won because, like, if she showed her boobs and didn't win, how embarrassing would that have been? But I really thought that really cute girl, Sarah, who kind of looks like Sarah Hyland, I thought she had a really cute shoot with, like, the Las Vegas wedding, and they were, like, standing in front of the flag. I thought she was going to win. They had a very cute photo shoot, but I guess it doesn't beat boobs. Nothing beats boobs. So, you know, date's over. Corinne wins. Obviously, the women are, like, gonna kill themselves, especially Taylor, because Taylor has this complex where, like, somebody breathes and Taylor was like, was that about me? Or, like, someone farts and Taylor's like, I can't believe you would do this to me. Like, Taylor thinks everything's about her. So Olivia going and interrupting someone, Taylor's like, I can't believe she would do this to me. So Taylor's gonna be a problem. I find her really annoying. And she takes this, like, moral, educational high ground. Like, yeah, I'm a mental health counselor, so, like, I'm smart, and these women are not. And I'm not down for it. Like, she's very judgy. So Corinne, obviously, is, like, stealing Nick from all the women, which is, like, the point of the show. Like, I hate when everyone gets surprised. Like, I can't believe Corinne stole him. No, that is the point of The Bachelor. And Corinne basically said that. She was like, you have to get used to someone stealing Nick from you. And even though she said it in a really drunk kind of way, she made a good point. And another good point she made was just taking full advantage of the open bar. Like, I can't lie. If I was on The Bachelor and I was just being served premium alcohol, I can't deny that I wouldn't do the same thing as Corinne. So she's, like, having a good time. And she's winning. Nick likes her. She's getting drunk for free. And she looks really pretty on national television. So say what you want about her. My mind is changing. She's definitely crazy, but she definitely knows what she's doing. She's getting a ton of Instagram followers. She's going to be a keeper in The Bachelor Nation. So I don't know, you guys. It's worth thinking about. That's all I'm saying. But that's the end of the first date. And then Danielle M., who's a blonde girl, I think she's a nurse, gets the group date. Oh, no, sorry. Danielle M. gets the one-on-one. They go on a helicopter and a yacht and then to dinner, which is definitely over budget for Bachelor. I feel like they either get the helicopter or the yacht. Like, they never get both. So she must be really special. Her and Nick went on a date, and she kind of told him about her past, where, so sad, her fiance of 3 months died of an overdose, and she had no clue he had substance abuse problems, and it was actually really sad. And Nick, like, pretending to be genuine, like, I just was not buying it. He is, like, not a very good actor at pretending to be a good person. So I really did feel for her, but I feel like she might have really good bachelorette contenderness just from that story. Because if you remember Emily Maynard, she also, her fiance died and everyone fell in love with her. She had a kid and she was so beautiful and so sweet. And she obviously became the Bachelorette after winning the Bachelor. So I don't know, maybe Danielle M could be the next Bachelor. She has a storyline. So I guess we'll have to see. Then this is like the Bachelor, like, is losing it with these dates. The date, the group date was at the breakup museum with like the B-list group, except for Liz. Like everyone else in the group date was like not so important. They all were on the first group date. So they went to the breakup museum, which was like not funny. Like I did not get the joke. I wasn't feeling it. And then they had this whole acting class, which I also wasn't feeling, obviously, until Liz got her ass up on stage and pretended she was like Nora Jones or like Nora Ephron and like gave a monologue, and it was really weird and I didn't like it. It made me feel really uncomfortable and I couldn't tell if she was being serious, and like Nick wanted to like cry. So I'm not a big fan of Liz at all. I think she's shady AF, and you don't go on national television to get to know someone. You get their number like a normal person at a wedding and you get to know them. But what I am looking forward to is Nick having to tell the other women back at the house that Liz left and for what reason. Because Corinne, I can just see it now. Her head is going to like just blow up off of her body. It's just going to be amazing. So that's what I'm really looking forward to. But overall, he did the right thing by sending her home. She was too transparent and like not pretty or cute enough to like, you know, do like annoying things like that. So he obviously wasn't into her from the very beginning and she just had to go. Overall, I would say it was a B-minus episode. Not a lot happened. It was all about Corinne. And it made me like Corinne and hate a lot of the women like Taylor. So I don't really have that much to say about it. Kind of lame. I'm not loving the season. Nick is not, he's not giving me anything. He's not a good actor. He's not a genuine person. He's really not that nice. The women are making up for it in their craziness, but I'm not sure how much longer that's going to keep me intrigued. Wah, wah, wah. I can't believe that the women of Beverly Hills have not learned their lesson when it comes to game night. Just steer clear, like go out to dinner, do something else. Nothing good happens at game night, but of course, they never learn. Last night was game night after a really uncomfortable lunch at Camille's house that like didn't give me anything. I didn't feel satiated. Like, Dorit needs to be put in her place, and like Eileen tried to do it, Erica tried to do it. No one can do it. Who can do it? Who can bring this maniacal weirdo down? I don't know. It might be Eden Sassoon. We'll see. Game night is wonderful. It's at Kyle's house. There's sushi and margaritas and everyone's having a grand old time until Dorit obviously opens her mouth. But the actual games itself look super fun. And it was nice to once, you know, to see the ladies getting along. And I think that has a lot to do with Eden Sassoon. She has this really like kinetic energy and spirit that like really unites the group, as weird as that sounds. So I think she's a great addition. I'm looking forward to like learning more about her. Like, I didn't really get, is she gay? And is she married? Does she have kids? I didn't get, I wasn't sure. So I'm looking forward to getting to know her more. But back to game night, which was a shit show really in and of itself. Everyone's playing these great charades. They're all like humping each other. And I'm really into it. Like, I'm loving, like I said, to watch the ladies once and for all, you know, come together for a more meaningful purpose. And that's for charades. But of course, after a couple margaritas, the games are over. Everyone's sitting down. Dorit is basically like asking Eden to like scissor her. And she gets interrupted by, what's her name? Eileen. And Eileen is like, Dorit, would you please come sit here? Dorit thought that Kyle and Eileen, Kyle by Eileen. Sorry, I never put that together. Dorit thought that Kyle and Eileen, they had both said something similar that they thought maybe Erica felt blindsided. Dorit took that as Kyle and Eileen just being in cahoots and talking shit about her. Like, okay, first of all, Dorit, be more insecure. Second of all, it's not that crazy of a conclusion for more than one person to come to that Erica was blindsided at your husband, like, visually assaulting her and then you buying her a pair of panties. So whatever. The conversation took the weirdest turn ever. Nobody got to, like, air their grievances because first they were talking about Eileen and Dorit, and then it turned to Kyle and Dorit, then it turned to Lisa Rinna and Dorit, then it turned to Kim Richards and Lisa Rinna. So nobody really got to say what they wanted to say, and then all of a sudden we were like brought back to 2012 where we're talking about Lisa Rinna and Kim Richards again. Like, who cares? I don't even remember if Kim Richards spoke about Lisa Rinna's husband. And if she did, at this point, I don't give a hoot. This is like such an old storyline. Why are we harping on it? It feels like 2013. And I personally, that was not a great year for me. I don't want to spend a lot of time there. So I was really more focused on wanting to hash out what was going on between Eileen and Dorit, but I got sidetracked into this bullshit between Kim and Lisa Rinna. And then Lisa Rinna, like, obviously just had to go so low. Let's talk about your arrest. Really? Like, you just make yourself look so bad, Lisa Rinna. What are you doing? Like, nothing got solved at game night, which was frustrating for me. It was like a flashback to, you're a slut pig. Well, at least I'm not doing crystal meth in the bathroom. It was one of those nights, but, like, with less zhuzh. And we didn't even have Dana there to be like, it's my sunglasses, $25,000. Like, it was a game night that wasn't iconic in any way, yet I didn't even get any juice or drama out of it. So I'm hoping we get to learn a little bit more about Eden Sassoon. What she's about. Is she gay? Does she have kids? Where does she live? Like, I want to know more about her. And how does she know the women? It wasn't made super clear. So all in all, I give it a C+ in terms of episodes. Dorit has got to go. Or someone needs to really put her in her place. But someone who's, like, aggressive and coherent and can speak cohesively. Someone, like, honestly, like a Kyle Richards, needs to just put that bitch in her place because I can't deal with her anymore. All right, it's only fitting that the first guest on Girl with a Podcast is the number one Steen, the Steen originator, the originator of Steens, Jackie O.
Woo! And the crowd goes wild. Whoosh.
All right, Jackie O, tell everyone why you're here. Who are you?
I'm here because you're my sister and I love you and I'm so excited.
And my mom made me bring my sister on the show.
Right. But I'm trying to forget that and just be so flattered that you invited me on your award-winning podcast.
On the most prestigious podcast on iTunes.
And SoundCloud. Don't sell yourself short.
Okay, okay. Okay, so Jackie's here. We're just going to, like, shoot the shit. A lot of you have asked questions for Jackie, mainly referring to the Steen. So why don't you go ahead and, in the least confusing way possible, explain to everyone, what are the Steens? Who are the Steens? What does Steens mean?
Okay. Before I start the story, I have to tell you that the answer is really disappointing because at the end of the day, Steens means nothing, yet it means everything.
Everything. I agree.
So here's the backstory, which is embarrassing, but, like, families are embarrassing and families, like, do weird shit. So if you have siblings, this will make complete sense to you. Little sis, Margot, went on a teen tour 2 summers ago and we missed her dearly. Mm-hmm. She was gone for, like, 8 weeks. And every day I would Snapchat her singing a song and I would just insert her name into the song like sisters do. So one day I find myself singing You Belong With Me by Taylor Swift.
A classic.
A classic. And I just go, why can't you see Margot's vagine? Margot's vagine. And instantly after it came out of my mouth, I was like, oh my God, Margot's vagine. Like, that's it. So for the rest of the summer, everyone called her Vagine. Her Vagine was internationally acclaimed.
It was a Sonia Morgan international fashion lifestyle brand.
Yeah, her Vagine was an international fashion and lifestyle brand. And when she came home, just Vagine evolved into, siblings.
As it does.
As one does. Like, you have a name, you add a suffix mm-hmm. to it. So Vagine Steen.
Right.
And then Steen just snowballed into an entire language. And not only is Margot's Vagina Steen, but all Steens are Steens. And everyone who loves Steens are Steens by association.
That's true.
So it's really just become this, like, worldwide phenomenon.
Is it phenomenon or phenomena?
I think... I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's spelled phenomenon. It must be one's plural and one's singular.
No, there's two words.
One must be plural and one must be singular.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Now down to, like, the more important things. I feel like we just all want to get to know Jackie. Like, who is the girl behind the red hair, you know? So I'm just going to ask you a couple questions, and I want you to be totally honest with me, okay?
Okay.
No holds bar, as they say.
I will, because you're my sis.
What is your favorite Housewives chain, and why?
This is really hard. I feel like I oscillate a lot because whatever show I'm watching, I'm like, oh, this is the best one. I want to say Beverly Hills because they're all glam and actually have money. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, it's boring as sin. Yeah. Like, the biggest thing that happened this season was that Erica uncrossed her legs for a millisecond.
True.
And yeah.
Beverly Hills?
No, not okay. Beverly Hills. Then when I watch New York, I'm like, this shit is raw. And it's like, well, on Beverly Hills, they've managed to learn how to not embarrass themselves on television.
Yeah, because they've all been on for so long. They're pros.
Right. New York City, you would think they might be pros, Ramona.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't stop embarrassing themselves. So yeah. There's no dearth of good shit on New York City.
But, you know, it has its ups and its downs. Like, I wouldn't say that Cindy Barshop, her season was, right. You know,
I'm
revolutionary.
Present day.
Yeah.
Of all time, probably Beverly Hills, like, which brought us Camille Grammer.
True.
Know? You just can't forget that. And I really feel like white trash when I say this, but I really like Orange County.
Yes, that's very white trash of you. But thank you for being honest, because that's what the podcast is all about.
Thank you. I never fully got into Atlanta, even though I know it's good.
Okay, so I've actually recently been getting into it. And not only is it phenomenal, but the women are unreal. So this is actually one of me and Ben were watching and we were dying. They went to the doctor. What's her name? Cynthia Bailey went to the plastic surgeon's office, like, get her boobs checked out because she got implants a while ago and she was thinking about redoing them. And she brought all the women to the office with her. And the doctor was like, okay, take off your top. And all the women were like, titties. And Phaedra was like, show me the titties. And it was so funny. I'm like, wow, this is really funny. And they need subtitles because they all talk so fast and on top of each other.
Right.
It's like a little Honey Boo Boo style, but it's really good. It's worth investing in.
Okay. I might, because I saw Kendra Moore on Watch What Happens Live, and not only was she amazing,
okay, first
but
of
the
all,
fact that she pulled her gun.
Her name is Kenya, not Kendra. Yes. Yeah. Would you, if you had to do it again, would you pull your gun? Yeah. Was it loaded? Hell yeah. She was so funny.
Not only does that make me like Kenya better, but the fact that Erica Girardi was pro-gun in that moment.
Yeah, it was interesting.
It was interesting.
What 90... No, sorry. I don't want to ask you that. What past reality show, like some jewels, like We Have the Hills, you know, do you relate to the most on a personal, physical, spiritual, and emotional level?
For sure. I feel like I need to rack my brain. What first comes to mind, though, even though this probably says a lot about my character.
I know what you're going to say.
Pretty Wild.
Oh my God, I was going to say that too.
Yeah. And
such an iconic show.
From that show is where I got.
So for those who don't know, Pretty Wild is, it was a reality show on E! I think only for maybe one season, about the Nyers. Alexis Nyers is that girl who the Bling Ring was after. She was involved in that, like, Hollywood robbery gang. She, like, robbed Justin Timberlake's house. And they did a reality show on her family when she was being arrested and, like, going to court. It's an amazing show. It's on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, you really should. It's, like, a cultural staple.
No, it's so important. And also, like, that's where I got my tagline for Real Housewives, should I ever become one.
Oh, please share, and then I'll share mine.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I may be pretty wild, but at least I'm not a terrorist.
Okay, mine's not as good, but it's...
I know yours. It's so apt.
It's so apt. I may be short and round, but you cannot push me around. I hate that I rhyme round with round.
Right. I feel like just if you give me a couple, like, minutes to rework
okay.
it, we could fix it.
So, yes, Pretty Wild is your show.
For now. And I just want to say about Real Housewives taglines, like, how important they are, mm-hmm. just, like, to the nation as a whole. But it's kind of annoying how they have to change them every season. Like, I feel like once someone gets the perfect one for them, it should be theirs forever.
I agree.
You know, I'm not, like, waiting to see what everyone's tagline is. And also, that's how I'll be introduced to, like, a new housewife. Like, you're an enigma wrapped in a riddle forever.
And cash.
And but I don't care that you're not two-faced.
Totally. So, Pretty Wild, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, let's move on. Jackie, are you a heels or a flats kind of gal?
Heels for sure. I'm 5 foot nothing, and I can wear heels up to 10 inches. How exciting.
Okay, like, I'm 5 foot nothing, too. But I really prefer a sneaker.
Well, like, that's your brand, is okay. comfort.
That's true. Your brand is more glam.
For sure, Christine.
Okay, next question. Lipstick, lip gloss, matte lip. What do you prefer? Crayon, lip liner.
Wow, that's a really...
Yeah, so many options these days.
So many options these days, and they're all really good options. Honestly, I can't remember the last time I used a lipstick because it's all about the matte mm-hmm. right now. I always have loved a good lip stain.
Like, oh, yeah.
But they're hard... I used to love a YSL one, but that's the only one I know of.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would have to go with matte, even though I hate how it feels on my lips and, like, it looks like I am dehydrated.
Yes.
But that's all we have to work with these days.
It's true. So, Jax, for those listening who maybe don't know who you are, I can't imagine that there are people out there
who
don't.
There's probably one.
Maybe two.
No.
Would you want them to take away from this interview? Like, what do you want people to know about Jackie O and her brand? Oh my God, by the way, we're sisters.
I said hi, sis.
Oh, okay, yeah. Did we not mention that?
I don't know. Okay, but just in case. If you don't know that we're sisters...
Why are you here?
For sure. And also, we explain Steens. Like, if you never heard the word Steens before...
Cool.
Don't look
cool.
it up.
Cool. So what do you want people to know about you, Jax?
I just want people to know that... I'm just like an everyday girl.
Yeah.
You know?
Stars. They're just like us.
Just like you guys. And I just have the same struggles as everyone else.
Right. People make fun of your eyebrows.
They do.
What are your thoughts on eyebrows?
My thoughts on eyebrows are, I truly don't think about them that often.
Me neither.
And I...
But there are people who do.
Right. They never really entered my conscious until like a couple months ago when I got my eyebrows waxed and then they penciled them in. And I was like, oh, I don't hate it this time.
Is that how it happened?
That's how it happened. But when I look at other people's eyebrows, I don't... think anything. Like, you told me that people said your eyebrows are thin. I have no clue what they're talking about.
No, I didn't really have any clue with what they're talking about either, but now I have, like, honest. I have, like, bald spots in my eyebrows.
In person, you don't. On your Snapchat, for some reason, it, like, picks up the scalp under your eyebrows.
No, so there's definitely, like a alopecia, like, thing going on in my eyebrows, and I never thought about my eyebrows until Instagram or Snapchat. People have really nasty things, but I don't want... Everyone has the same square eyebrows on Instagram.
Yeah, no, you don't want Instagram eyebrows. And also, like, I just sometimes look at girls on Instagram who are, like, Q-list Kylies, mm-hmm. you know? And I would just love to see what they look like in person.
Xylies. Yeah.
No, I need to see them in person.
And they have huge ring lights. Like, they really look nothing like they do on the internet.
I know. It's crazy. The internet's amazing. I know. Where do we get one?
I know. I mean, like, we, like, talk like we're not like them. Like, we look nothing like our Instagrams.
I feel like we do. We keep it real.
I feel like I definitely don't keep it real. I'm a heavy editor. Okay, great question. What is your thoughts on photo editing? Because I have a really strong opinion.
Okay. I know you're not talking about filters, but I'm just going to play
No, I'm talking about filters. Making yourself look skinnier, making your boobs look bigger, making your ass look bigger. Any alterations on a photo, what are your thoughts? Go.
Okay, my thoughts are, if you're not using filters, get the hell off of Instagram. Because totally. Nobody wants to see your grainy photos. Now for the meat of the question. Personally, if I ever feel myself going to use Photoshop, it gives me pause. And I'm like, wait, if I want to look like how I'm about to shrink my leg, then I need to work to look like that. Because if I start... Photoshopping my photos, I'll genuinely believe that that's what I look like and that I don't need to work to look better. And that's when you start getting lazy. So I like my big thigh and I'll leave it there just as a constant reminder that I could always be better. And also, my thigh's not even that big. Like, there are bigger thighs out there.
Yeah, like relatively.
Relative to thighs... Mine.
Relative to America, yours is definitely on the smaller side. I don't know. I just have like a totally different opinion with you on this. Like, it's the internet. Like, people just like do whatever you want. Like, I'm not skinny in real life. And so if I want to pretend for 5 seconds that I'm skinny on my Instagram, like, just let me be. Like, you know?
Well, my take on that is if that's what you want to do, do it, girlfriend.
On the internet or in real life? Are you telling me to lose weight?
No.
Okay.
I'm saying if you want to make sure. Be skinny for 5 minutes, do whatever you want. I'm saying for me personally, I think it would start a bad thing in motion.
But you know what? I've done this to other people and I was wrong too. Like, pointing out someone else's Photoshopping, like, what are you doing? Just stop.
No, you're wrong there. If you're going to Photoshop, it better be perfect.
That's true. But like at the same time, like, I know I look at pictures of some people and they don't look that way, but like, leave it alone. Like, I comment on it all the time and I shouldn't.
No, but if your Photoshop is obvious, that's truly embarrassing.
That's true.
Like, you're allowed to Photoshop, but make it good.
If you're going to cross the line into that, just do it right. Next up, I really wanted to dive into the mind of a marketing genius like you. So I want you to tell me a little bit about your online life. Like, what's your favorite social platform? What do you like best and why?
Okay. Right now, my favorite social platform is definitely Snapchat because I feel like it's the place where I can be the most myself. Like, I feel like I'm not... worth following on Instagram unless my hair and makeup is done, I'm wearing a cute outfit, and I have a funny caption. Snapchat, I can just roll out of bed and be like, hey guys, what's up? And because there's no liking or engagement that I have to worry about, like, I'm free to do whatever I want. And I've found such a great community there and so much positivity. So I love Snapchat. And obviously I like Instagram because, like, it makes me feel like a model.
Mm-hmm.
And I like looking at other models.
Yeah, it's true. The modeling community. We're flourishing on Instagram.
We are seriously flourishing. I feel like really everyone is a model right now.
For sure. No, I'm definitely a model.
I'm definitely a model.
No, for sure.
Like,
are
sometimes
are we models?
I think we're models.
And another thing I actually really like about Snapchat is I feel like as a company, every time they do something super annoying, like remember when they did automatic, so every time you would finish watching someone's stories, it would automatically jump into someone else's. Like, there was a visceral reaction to that. Everyone was like, this sucks, stop. And they stopped. But Instagram changed their algorithm. Everyone's pissed about it. Kylie even tweeted about it and they didn't change it. So, like, they don't really care what the users think and feel. But I feel like Snapchat takes a real liking to what we consumers think.
I agree with that, and I do appreciate it. I will say that I think that the re-change back to the way it was came too late, and people had already adapted to the new way, and now I have to unadapt. And I don't want to spend my time adapting.
No, adapting is a super hard thing to do.
But I find myself to be quite the adapter.
No, I find myself constantly being required to adapt.
For sure. It's almost as if Darwin
himself
made us this way.
Totally. Okay, so what is like your social media strategy? Like, what kind of pics do you post on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter?
Okay, well, my sort of ethos for my social media platforms, which is Jackie O Problems, by the way. So it's just like pictures of me and my outfits and my makeup and my hair and stuff. My motto is, if I'm always myself, I'm always going to be on brand. So as long as I'm being myself, I'm being funny, I'm being cute, I'm being kawaii, I'm not being a slob kebab, I stay in shape. And just, even if I don't have a caption one day, that's how I was that day. I'm on brand. I'm being Jackie O. So
is not having a caption on brand for Jackie O? Definitely not.
Definitely not. But it would have to be a dark, dark day for me to not have a caption. In which case, Jackie O had a dark, dark day. That's the real truth.
Jackie O can't have a dark day.
I know.
She's Jackie O.
I know. But, you know, it could happen.
So I don't really want to talk about this too much because we talked about it already. But I just want to hear quick 2 cents on The Bachelor. What are your thoughts on Corinne?
Okay. Well, I just want to preface my thoughts on this season of The Bachelor that I still am not okay with Nick being the Bachelor.
Nobody is.
But people have accepted it. People are tweeting about it, talking about it. I really try not to engage with anything. In fact, I even watched The Bachelor with my friends last night who didn't stop talking and didn't bother me because I didn't want to watch the show even. Now, my take on The Bachelor is that I watch it all through the prism of if Luke had been the Bachelor.
Yeah.
In which case, I'm obsessed with Raven.
Oh, Raven, yeah.
She is perfection. Luke still doesn't follow her on Instagram. I check every day. Maybe, like, he just needs to wait for, like, Paradise or something. But I'm really pulling for Luke and Raven. In terms of Nick's ladies, it's really insane how the show has descended into a circus. I know it was always crazy, but it's never been this crazy. Like, the girls getting plastered within the first hour of the date, they have the longest day. They're all sitting there, like, Moscow Mule, Bellini, Champagne, like, taking it down, walking up to Nick in a trashy outfit and making out with him, and then the next girl, and the next girl, and the next girl.
Oh my God, you know what I just found out? I'm so sorry to interrupt you. The girl on the episode, Brittany, who had the bikini with the leaves.
Who is perfect.
She's Jordan Rogers' ex-girlfriend.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe you.
It's true.
But I've seen pictures of Jordan Rogers' ex-girlfriend. He must have been
one of.
One. Okay. She's not the ex-girlfriend.
But she was great. Like,
she's not the Olivia Munn's trainer ex-girlfriend.
My question. Corinne.
Oh, Corinne's awesome.
Yeah.
And also, the best thing to happen to Corinne was Liz.
Yes.
Because I was dead fourth Steens at Liz. And you know what it says a lot about? Jade.
What kind of friends does Jade keep?
I've been reading Jade's tweets and she's like
very defensive. She's being a good friend.
And sad. And she is a good friend. And like, yeah, I understand how like editing can construe things to a way that they not aren't, but just the way that it looks to us is horrible. It was so embarrassing.
Totally. Okay. So where can everyone find you? Where can they hear from you? Leave notes on the podcast. Like, where can everyone hear from you?
Everyone can hear from me at Jackie O Problems on literally every single platform. Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Periscope, Vine.
Meerkat. Pornhub. Awesome. Well, Jax, always a pleasure. Thanks for being a great first guest.
Thank you so much for having me.
Deuces.
This has been so fun.
Deuces. All right, everyone. That completes our second episode of Girl with a Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Girl with a Podcast. Leave comments. Let me know what you liked. If you want me to have anyone specific on for an interview, I want to hear what you have to say. As always, love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.